Tonight's shir is on Parshas Vayishlach, and the title of the shir tonight is Defending the Ibn Ezra from Criticism. So tonight I'm going to give a different type of shir than I normally give. And I came across this interesting Ibn Ezra, and I remembered that there was a lot of biblical criticism in favor of the Ibn Ezra, so against one of the Yikarim. The Yud Gomel Yikarim. So I wanted to take up that Ibn Ezra and try to go through it and try to understand the logic behind the other side and kind of break it down a little bit. So if we start, we're going to start with an interesting part at the end of the Parsha. It's Bereishis Perek Lamed Vav, and it's always bothered me. The Torah includes these random psukim about Edom and Esav, the descendants of Esav, and the Malachim, the kings of Edom. So there's a couple of psukim over there, so let's read through them, and then we'll ask questions on it. So if you look in Perek Lamed Vav, in source number 1, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, Ve'ila amlachim asher malchu be'aretz Edom, lifnei molach melech livnei Yisrael. So these are the kings that were the kings of Edom before the Jews, B'nai Yisrael, had a king. Ve'imloch be'edom Bela ben Bor v'shem Yerodin Hava. So Edom, so the first king was Bela, the son of Beor. And the name of his city was Dinhava. Vayamas Bala, Vaymoch Tachav Yovav ben Zerach mi Batzra. So he dies, and then the next one was Yovav ben Zerach, Yovav the son of Zerach from Batzra. Vayamas Yovav, Vaymoch Tachav Chusham Eretz HaTemani. So Yovav died, and then Chusham took over from the land of Temani. Vayamas Chusham, Vaymoch Tachav Hadad ben Bedad, Makas Midyan Bestemua, Vishemi Roavis. So then after Chusham, there was another king. Vayamas Hadad, Vaymoch Tachav Samla Masrika. Then finally there was Samla that followed Hadad. Vayamas Samla, Vaymoch Tachav Shaul Merchavos HaNahar. After Samla was Shaul. Vayamas Shaul, Vaymoch Tachav Baal Hanan ben Achbor. After Shaul was Hanan the son of Achbor. Vayamas Baal Hanan ben Achbor, Vaymoch Tachav Hadar Vishem Ro Pau Vishem Ishtom Mehitavel Bas Matrade Bas Mezahav. And then the last king mentioned was Hadar, and it mentions his wife. Her name was Mehitavel Bas Matred. So the Torah goes into a whole description of the kingship, the Malchus of Edom, and it goes into very specific nature as to who the kings were. So the question that always bothered me was, what's the purpose of this section? Why does the Torah have to mention the kings of Edom? I mean, the whole Torah is mostly focused on Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, our development as a nation. And of course, Esav is mentioned in the beginning of the Parsha with regard to Yaakov, and Yaakov's afraid of Esav, and how he escapes the whole situation. But the question is, why does the Torah even have to mention the specifics of who the kings of Edom were? What's the purpose of this section in the Torah? So to answer that question, we'll look at Rashi, and then we'll come to the Ibn Ezra pretty soon. But Rashi says, Ve'ela hamalachim shmona hayu, Uchenegdon Hamid Yaakov Uvatel Malchus Esav B'Yemehem. So there are 8 kings mentioned in this section of Edom, and connected them, and I guess equivalent to them, were the kings of Israel, were the kings of Yisrael, and the Malchus of Esav, the kingship of Esav was nullified in the times of the kings of Israel. The Elohim, who were the 8 kings of Israel where there were no kings of Edom? Shaul, Vishboshes, David, Ushlomo, Rechavam, Avya, also Yehoshaphat. So these 8 kings during their kingship, during David's kingship and Shaul's kingship and Ishboshes and all these kings of Klal Yisrael, there were no kings of Edom. Uvimei Yoram, Bino, Ksiv. So in the time of Yoram, his son, it says in Malachim Beis, Biyamav, Pasha, Edom, Mitachas, Yad, Yudav, I am Licho, Aleim, Melech. So they had a king after Yoram. Uvimei Shaul, Ksiv, Melech, Ein, Be'edom, Nitzav, Melech. So, and in the time of Shaul, also there was no king. So Rashi's showing you that the Torah is describing the kingship of Edom, and it's trying to say that Edom had kings prior to Shaul, and then from Shaul all the way till Yehoshaphat, there were no kings of Edom, and then after Yehoshaphat, in the time of Yoram, the kings of Edom started up again. So Rashi is just telling us that the Torah is bringing in this whole section to teach us the history of Edom prior to Shaul. The whole history of Edom prior to Shaul. And then once Shaul was Melech, there were no kings of Edom, and there were only governors of Edom. And then after the 8 kings of Klal Yisrael, there was a restoration of the Malchus of Edom. So again, but the question is fine. So Rashi gives us a little bit of insight. He says that the purpose of this was to try to teach us about the nature of the kingship of Edom relative to the kingship of Klal Yisrael. But still, the question is, what's the purpose of this section? Again, like, why do we need this in the Torah? So I think one of the Mefarshim of Rashi gives us a little more insight, so we can give at least one idea for Rashi. And it's Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi. So he explains Rashi. He says, "Ve'elam lachim uchenegdan hemed Yaakov ubata malchus Esav b'yemehem lekayim mashenemar." So this is a kiyum. It's a fulfillment of what it says in Bereishis Chaf Hei Chaf Gimel ulaom milom yematz. Rashi says over there, "Kishezek comes and nofel." So when Rivka was pregnant, she was told that this idea of ulaom milom yematz, which means that when one of them is successful, the other one will fall. So what's the proof for this, for Rashi? So he says the same thing as Rashi, but he explains that the purpose of this section is to teach us about the principle of U'om Milom Yematz, the idea that when Klal Yisrael is successful, so Esav is not successful, and when Esav is successful, so Klal Yisrael is not successful. And if you look in Rashi, look in the next source in 4, so Rashi says that exact idea, Milom Yematz, Lo Yishvu Begdula, they're not even. Keshezek comes, and Ophel. So when this one is up, the other one falls down. Mechenu Omer, Amala Charevel, and Ismala Tzur, Ela Mechor B'na Shu Yushalayim. So it says there that Edom was only successful when Yushalayim was destroyed. So that's when their success came about. So what is the purpose of this, according to Rashi, and according to this parish? So what's the purpose of this section? So the purpose is to teach us an idea about Hashkacha. So it's to teach us that it's never going to be a situation where Esav and Yisrael, they're both doing their own thing and they're both successful. But the idea is that the hashkacha that relates to Esav directly affects us, and the hashkacha that relates to us affects Esav. And I think the purpose of the Torah, according to Rashi, mentioning all the specifics, is that what happens to Esav becomes an element of limud. It becomes an entity of limud of our study of Hashkacha. The way Hashkacha works, we can study what happens to Esav and see from what happens to Esav various things that happen to us. So the purpose of this, according to Rashi, is to give us an entity of limud, an entity to study vis-a-vis Hashkacha, vis-a-vis divine intervention, and we can learn from what happens to Esav indirectly to us, and learn from them to us, because there's a direct correlation, negative, positive, between what happens to them and what happens to us. So I think Rashi is a beautiful insight. He's showing us that we can study Hashkacha as it relates to Klal Yisrael directly, but we could also study Hashkacha as it relates to Klal Yisrael indirectly. And how do we study it? We study it through the section, or through what happens to Esav. Because Edom is our direct corollary. And when they're up, we're down. When they're down, we're up. So that's the purpose of the Torah. The Torah is telling us specifics to teach us how the Hashkacha works towards them, in order for us to learn how the Hashkacha works towards us. Okay, so I think that's the idea, according to Rashi. It's a vehicle of our limud of Hashkacha, even what happens to Esav. But what's the... So there's one other point, the Baal HaTurim, and then we'll get to the Ibn Ezra, and defending the Ibn Ezra. So the Baal HaTurim says, Ve'elam lachim. So why does it teach us this section? Bishvil she'amar Yaakov le'Esav ches pa'amim Adoni. So because when Yaakov approaches Esav, he says Adoni. He calls Esav my master. This is at the beginning of the parsha. Malchu ches melachim kodem Yisrael. He says it 8 times. So therefore, Esav had 8 kings kodem Yisrael before Klal Yisrael. Uchenegdan malchu ches melachim ad Yehoram uviyama pasha Edom. So he gives a different answer. The Baal Turim says that the purpose of this parsha is to tell us that Esav had 8 malachim, but why did Esav have 8 malachim? Because Yaakov called Esav Adoni, he called him my master. So what is that idea? What's it trying to teach us, the Torah, according to the Baal Turim? So it's trying to teach us that, I think, an idea about Yaakov, that when Yaakov approached Esav in the beginning of the parsha, he was supposed to be scared of Esav, and it was proper for him to be mispalel, but when he calls Esav Adoni, it sounds like the Torah is telling us, or at least the Baal Turim saying, that there was a flaw there in Yaakov. That Yaakov, he related to Esav as a master. There was a part of Yaakov that saw Esav as a real master, as a real king. And really, that was a flaw within Yaakov. That Yaakov should have acted as if you were scared of Esav. You should have acted in a respectful way. But the idea that he kept calling him Adoni demonstrated that there was an internal part of Yaakov that really looked up to Esav, or looked at Esav as a king-type figure, as a masterful figure. So the Torah is teaching us that there was a flaw there, and part of the reason for Edom's success was because of Klal Yisrael and Yaakov's inability to really discount Esav's power and Esav's mastery. So that's really the idea. That's what the Torah is teaching us. So we have two nice ideas to try to explain why the Torah mentions this. One is to teach us how the Hashgacha works, that the Hashgacha to Esav is an entity of limud, of our limud, of our understanding, so that we can derive ideas about how Hashgacha works, and relative to us. And the other idea was that it reflects a flaw that persisted, but started with Yaakov, that the way that we perceive Edom and the way we perceive Esav affects their success. If we take them seriously, if we view them as really powerful, so then they'll be successful, and that's the idea that the Baal Turim is mentioning. But let's move on to the controversy. So the controversy is the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra here is on is in source number 6. I don't have numbers, but it's source number 6. And it's on Bereishis Vayishlach Parak Lamed Vav Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It's the beginning over here. And he says as follows. Ve'ela hamlachim, yesh omrim ki bederach nevuah nichtava zosa parsha. So some want to say that this was written with nevuah. Because the question is, and that's Rashi. Rashi holds like that. Because Rashi's saying that these kings of Edom are the kings up to the point of Shaul. And the point of Shaul was way after the Torah was written. So how does the Torah mention all the specifics about all the kings of Edom up to after the Torah is written, up to the point of Shaul, if the Torah was finished or was completed way before Shaul? So according to Rashi, he wants to learn that it's Bederach Nevuah, that there's a Nevuah, there's prophecy that we know that this was going to happen. Moshe knew that this was going to happen through prophecy, and he printed this, and this was printed in the Torah. So that's how some want to learn. Then it says, V'Yitzchaki Amar Bisvaro. So Yitzchaki says in his Sefer. So there's a whole controversy. Who was Yitzchaki? Was it really Rashi? Because the Mosad Rav Kook says that Rashi had this Girsa that he's going to mention. Or was it somebody else? I think most people say it was somebody else, not Rashi. But he says, Ki b'yamei Yehoshafa nichtava zosa parsha. So the Ibn Ezra says that there's an opinion, Yitzchaki, who holds that this Parsha wasn't written in the time of Moshe, and it was written in the time of Yehoshaphat, which was much later, was the eighth king of the Jews, and it was written and inserted over here. So he says, so the Ibn Ezra says this approach, or he takes this up, and he says, Hachi kara shmo Yitzchak. So this is why they call him Yitzchak. That anybody who hears him will laugh at him. Ki Amar, so he breaks it down logically, historically. He says, Ki Amar ki hadad hu hadad ha'edomi, v'amar ki mehetavel achos tach pan ches. He wants to say that Yitzchaki, this person Yitzchaki, is learning that Hadad is Hadad ha'edomi, and Mehetavel was the sister of Tach pan ches, which was much later in the time of Yehoshaphat. He says, V'chalila chalila shadavar kamosha diber alimei Yehoshaphat. He says, you can't say this. You can't say that this was written in the time of Yehoshaphat. Usvaro ro'i lihisarif. You should burn his svarim. V'lama tama al shmona malachim shemalchu shehem rabim. So why is there even a question as to the eight kings that were kings, that there are many of them? V'hine malchi Yisrael kefalim b'mispar. There are many more kings of Israel. Ushnei elah malachim krovim lishnei malchi Yisrael. And the idea is that the time period of these eight malachim were similar to the time period of the Malchei Yisrael. They were similar in time periods. Gam Malchei Yehuda, Rabim Hemi Malchei Edom, Adimei Moshe. There are many other kings, even more so than Adimei Moshe. Malchei Edom from the malachim of Edom, Adimei Moshe until the days of Moshe. It says Apirish Apirish Lifnei Malach Melech. So what does it mean? Ve'ela Malachim Asher Malchu Beretz Edom Lifnei Malach Melech. What does it mean before there was a king? It doesn't mean Shaul. It says Al Moshe Melech Yisrael. It's referring to Melech Yisrael Moshe. V'chein Kasev Ahibishurun Melech. So it says in the Torah it refers to Moshe as the Melech Yisrael. So when it says in our section in Lamed Aleph Ve'ela Malachim Asher Malchu Beretz Edom Lifnei Malach Melech Lifnei Yisrael, it's not referring to Shaul because that's impossible according to the Ibn Ezra. Shaul was much later. So it's referring to Moshe, that Moshe was the first melech of Bnei Yisrael, and these were the kings of Edom before Moshe took leadership position, and Moshe became Melech Yisrael. And he brings a proof that Moshe is called the melech from the pasuk of Vayhi Bishurun Melech. It says Vayhi Bishurun Melech, and that's a reference to Moshe. Okay? So, Rashi, Rashi before was learning that it's a nevuah, that this is a nevuah, but the Ibn Ezra, he quotes a heretic, Yitzchaki, who wants to learn that this parsha wasn't written, this section wasn't written in the time of the Torah itself, in the time of Moshe, but rather it was written much later on in the time of Yehoshaphat. And he rejects this openly, and he says it can't be, it's impossible. And he says that he's learning it wrong. And really what the Torah is just teaching us is about the Malachim of Edom prior to Moshe. And when it says, Lifnei Malach Melech, it's referring to Moshe. So what do we see here? We see from the Ibn Ezra that the Ibn Ezra is clearly rejecting the idea that any part of the Torah could be written at a different time period. That's Kfira. And he says, Chalila, he says you should burn those books. So he's saying it's impossible. We maintain that the Torah was written by Moshe, Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was Nevuas Moshe, and it was at that time period. So the Ibn Ezra is clear over here. So I remembered when I did this Ibn Ezra, I remember that there's various critics, biblical critics, and even people now who claim to be within the Orthodoxy movement, who want to learn the Ibn Ezra differently. They want to learn that the Ibn Ezra was a proponent of the idea that parts of the Torah were written after the Torah. And they quote a different Ibn Ezra. So let's just look at the other Ibn Ezra, because over here it sounds like, and they try to explain this Ibn Ezra. So we'll look at their answer and see if it's satisfactory or the logic makes sense. But as far as we're concerned right now, if you want to look at this logically at this point, Ibn Ezra is saying openly that he's against the concept that the Torah was, any part of the Torah was written after the Torah. He says that it's impossible to say that this section was written in the time of Yehoshaphat. It's impossible. So if you look in the beginning of Devarim, the first pasuk over there, it says, Ela Devarim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael, be'evar ha'erdim ba'midbar ba'arava mosuf ben paran uben tofel v'lavam v'chatzeros v'dizahav. So these are the words that Moshe spoke to Klal Yisrael on that side of the Yarden, in the desert, on the plain opposite of the sea, uven tofel, between tofel, lavan, chatzeros, and dizahav. So there's an Ibn Ezra over there, where he says as follows. He says, Be'evar ha'yardin ba'midbar ba'arava, on that side of the Yarden, in the desert, in the plain. He says, V'im tavin sod, if you understand the secret, hasarim, so some girsas say sarim, but others say hashneimasar. So others say the 12, the secret of the 12. Gam vayichtov Moshe, and if you understand the pasuk of vayichtov Moshe, that Moshe wrote the Torah, there, we'll look at all these pasukim. And also, V'aknani oz ba'aretz, if you look in that pasuk, which is in Bereishis. Also, B'har Hashem Yira'et, which is another pasuk in Bereishis. And another pasuk in Devarim, V'nei araso eres barzel, tak yira'emes. Then you'll know the truth. So the Ibn Ezra says that if you want to understand the secret of the secret in the beginning of Devarim, if you want to understand the secret over here, understand the secret of the 12, he says the 12, but some girsas say the sarim. So if you have that girsa, it kind of rejects the whole criticism. But other girsas have shneimasar, the secret of the 12, and if you look at these other psukim, there's four psukim quoted over here by the Ibn Ezra. Vayichtov Moshe, Vaknani az ba'aretz, Behar Hashem Yira'eh, and Vinei Araso Eres Barzel, then you'll understand the truth. Okay, so this is the source that they want to say, that the critics want to say, that the Ibn Ezra maintains that the Torah was, or parts of the Torah were written after the Torah was completed. So how do they get that? Where do they get this from? So if you look in, if you look on the next page, in source number 9, it's the Ibn Ezra on Devarim Perek Lamed Daled. So at the last 12 psukim of the Torah, at the beginning of the last 12 psukim of the Torah, it says, Vayal Moshe, look in the Ibn Ezra, Lefi daiti, based on my reasoning, ki mizeh pasuk kasav Yoshua. So he says from this pasuk till the end of the Torah, Yoshua wrote. Ki achar sha'ala Moshe lo kasav. So after Moshe went up, he didn't write any more of the Torah. Uvederach nevuah kasvu, and it was written bederach nevuah. Ve'aid vayirehu Hashem, vayomar Hashem elav, gam vayikbor. So he brings different proofs for this. So he wants to say that the Ibn Ezra wants to say that the last 12 psukim were written by Yehoshua. So they learn, the critics learn from there, that when the Ibn Ezra says the Sod Hashneimasar, the secret of the 12, so he's referring to the last 12 psukim. So one of the problems, before we understand it, one of the problems with this approach, before we understand what Ibn Ezra is saying and where he gets his idea from, the problem, I would think logically, is that on the one hand, we saw an Ibn Ezra in our Parsha that's open, and this Ibn Ezra seems to be very cryptic. A, it's cryptic in terms of the girsa that it has, and B, it's the Ibn Ezra says it's a sod, that there's a secret here. And typically, when the Ibn Ezra uses the term sod, he's really trying to teach you that there's a deeper idea, not just that he's trying to hide an idea that he thinks is true, but he's telling you that there's a depth to the idea. But the way that the critics learn this is that they want to say the sod is a secret, that the Ibn Ezra was trying to keep a secret, and that he was really learning that in all these psukim, just like the last 12 psukim weren't written by Moshe, they were written by Yeshua, so too, in other places in the Torah, there were parts of the Torah that weren't written by Moshe. So that's how they want to learn. Okay, but let's look at the Ibn Ezra inside, and then we'll try to understand how they answer the kasha from our Ibn Ezra and our Parsha, and we'll try to give a different understanding of the Ibn Ezra as well. So if you look in the Gemara, if anybody has any questions, just stop me at any point. So if you look in the Gemara, where does the Ibn Ezra get this idea from? He's not making up the concept that the last set of psukim are written by Yeshua. It's actually a Gemara. So the Gemara doesn't say 12 psukim, it says 8 psukim, but there's a Gemara on this. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, it's right after, it's on the next page, the second page. It's Bava Basra, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. It's a famous machlokas about the last 8 psukim. Amar Mar, so Mar said, Yoshua Kasav Svaro Ushmona Psukim Shebetorah. So he says that Yoshua, it stated that Yoshua wrote his Sefer Yoshua, and he also wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah. So Tanya Kamanda Amar Shmona Psukim Shebetorah Yoshua Kasvan. So this brisa is like according to the side that holds that that the 8th psukim were written in the Torah, the last 8 psukim by Yoshua. Ditani Vayamasham Moshe Eved Hashem. It says over there that Moshe died. Efshar Moshe Meis V'chasa Vayamasham Moshe. Is it possible that Moshe died and he still wrote Moshe died? How could he die or be dead and write this? Elo, rather Ad Kan Kasav Moshe. So Moshe wrote up to this point, Mikan Va'ilech Kasav Yoshua, but Yoshua wrote the last 8 psukim. Divrei Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda's opinion. The Amri Lo Rav Nechemya, Amri Lo Rav Shimon. So Rav Nechemya and Rav Shimon say, Efshar Sefer Torah Chaser Os Achas Uchsiv Lakoch Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. So they argue, they say, is it possible that the Sefer can be missing one letter from Nevuas Moshe, from Moshe himself, and yet you can say, take the Sefer Torah? Ela Ad Kan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Moshe Omer, the Chosev, Mikan Ve'elech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Moshe Chosev, Bedema, Kimoshe Ne'amar, Lahalan, Vayomer Lahan Baruch, Mipiv Yikro Elias, called Verma Elev, Ani Chosev, Al Sefer Bedeo. So the other shita is that Moshe wrote the last 8 psukim, but he wrote it with his tears, and it was filled in by God, and the ink was filled in by God, but it was really written with tears by Moshe. It was really written by Moshe. So it's Machlukas in Bava Basra, who wrote the last 8 psukim. Was it written by Yehoshua? Or was it written by Moshe, but Bedema, with tears? And really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled it in the tears with Diyo, with ink. Okay, so really, the Ibn Ezra, the idea that the end of the Torah was written by Yehoshua is not the Ibn Ezra's Chiddush. It's really from the Gemara. It's Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara. But the Ibn Ezra, if you look in the first source on the page, so he's learning that the last 12 psukim were written by Yehoshua, but he's not. This is not an idea that he's coming with or coming up with on his own. He's getting from the Gemara. All right, so they want to say, the critics want to say, at least, that this is the source, that when the Ibn Ezra quotes the idea, the sod of the 12, he's referring to himself in Devarim, where he writes that Yoshua wrote the end of the Torah, but really the Ibn Ezra is really getting this idea from the Gemara. But the Gemara does not mention the other psukim that the Ibn Ezra mentions. So let's look at the other psukim inside that the Ibn Ezra alludes to through his secret. And we'll try to understand them and see what the problems are with them. And we'll try to give, like I said, we'll try to look at it from the critic's approach, and I'll try to break it down a little bit, and then add a different approach. So it says, let's look at the psukim. In the first pasuk, I think they say it's a misquote, but it's Vayichtov Moshe es hatorah azos, Vayitna el hakohanim b'nei Levi hanosim es aron brits Hashem b'el kol zikne Yisrael. So one is that there's a pasuk in Devarim that Moshe wrote the whole Torah and he gave it to the Kohanim. And so the question that they ask is that the Torah wasn't complete yet. So how could the Torah write that Moshe wrote the whole Torah if the Torah wasn't complete? So that's one question. Then the next question is Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz Ad Makom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh V'Hakanani Az Ba'aretz. It says in Bereishis that Avram, he passed through the land, and it says the Kanani were still in the land. So they say over here that it sounds like, this is how they explain it, it sounds like V'Hakanani Az Ba'aretz means now, that it was written like in the present tense, that they're still in the land means now. It doesn't mean in the time of the Torah, but it means now. So it sounds like it was written after the fact. And the Ibn Ezra there, he brings down the sod again. He says, "V'aknani oz ba'aretz yitachin she'aretz Kanaan tafsa Kanaan miyal acher." So one idea is that Eretz Kanaan was taken from somebody else. "V'imenenu ken yesh lo sod," but there could be a sod, a secret here. Then there's two other psukim that he quotes. "V'yikra Avram shem hamakuma hu ad Hashem yireh asher yamer hayom behar Hashem yireh." So Avram called that place Hashem yireh, in which the people say nowadays, Behar Hashem Yireh. So again, they say, it sounds like from the Pasuk, that when it says, Asher Miyah Mer Hayom, that it said nowadays, it sounds like it was written, that this Pasuk was written after the fact. It was written nowadays, because they say, oh, it was written Hayom, it was written nowadays. Bizman Azeh, they call it Behar Hashem Yireh, not in the times of the Torah. And then finally, in Devarim Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, they say, Kirak Og Melech HaBashan, Nishar miyesa harafam hine arso eres barzel halo hiber abas bnei amon teisha amos arka v'arba amos rachba be'amasish. So the Torah explains that Og was a leftover from the giants, and it talks about the size of his bed, and it quotes the actual size of his bed. So they ask, how could we not know how big he was? This happened in the Torah. The Torah just mentioned that he was destroyed or defeated. So why does the Torah have to mention his height? It sounds like they're defending something that we should know or should be obvious at the time of the Torah. So also, again, they want to say that it sounds like it was written after the fact. Okay, so just to recap. So we found in Ibn Ezra, just to recap and just try to expose a couple of problems. So there's a contradictory Ibn Ezra. On the one hand, we found in Ibn Ezra in our Parsha that says openly that the section on the Malchi Edom could not have been written later. In fact, he goes so far to say that the books that suggest this should be burned. So it sounds like he's vehemently opposed to this idea, because it would seem like it goes against an Iker, an essential idea that we have, that the Torah was Nevuas Moshe. So how could it be written after? But the critics, they harp on this Ibn Ezra, where he ties it to the secret of the 12. So I would say that, just logically and rationally, I would say if you have an open Ibn Ezra and you have a secret of Ibn Ezra, it would seem like the open Ibn Ezra should be the premise, and the secret of Ibn Ezra should be an Ibn Ezra that fits within the open Ibn Ezra, not the other way around. Whereas the secret of Ibn Ezra, the one with the sod, which is more cryptic and harder to understand, shouldn't be the premise. It should be the exception, or we should try to fit in the sod within the open or the obvious. But the way the critics learn, they learn the opposite. They learn that the sod, which they're confident in understanding the sod, that Ibn Ezra was trying to say, was that the Torah or parts of the Torah weren't written by Moshe. They're confident in that explanation. So they want to say that the sod is the premise, and we have to understand our Ibn Ezra and our Parsha. But I think the logic is backwards. To me, it seemed like it makes more sense to accept the premise of the open Ibn Ezra and to use the sod, which is typically a secret and is an in-depth idea, as trying to fit into that premise, as opposed to the critics who want to say the opposite. They want to say that the Ibn Ezra really maintained the opposite. He maintained that really the Torah, or parts of the Torah, were written after the fact, and they bring it from the sod. So I think the other point of disagreement that I have is the use of sod again. So the way they will use sod is that the Ibn Ezra is trying to hide this from other Rabbanim or from other people. He didn't want people to know that this was his position, because it's really kfira. But I don't think that's really how the Ibn Ezra uses sod. He uses sod as an idea in depth, that there's a certain depth to the idea, not an idea that he's trying to hide it. But anyways, let's look at their answer. So I quoted this from a well-known website. That's now being considered, or the people who write it consider themselves within Orthodox Judaism. And they're quoting the Tzafnas Paneach is one answer. They try to answer the Ibn Ezra. So he tries to answer the contradiction between the two Ibn Ezras. He says, now if someone were to argue, but did the Ibn Ezra himself hint towards the beginning of Devarim that later prophets added phrases, even verses into the Torah? So the answer is that adding... So people want to say that from this Ibn Ezra and Devarim, it sounds like you can maintain that other Nevi'im added phrases into the Torah. So he says, the answer, adding a phrase or a verse to explain that which Moshe said, or to add a clarification, is not the same as adding an entire Parsha. A phrase or a verse is an explanation, but an entire Parsha is an addition. So how does he explain it? So he explains that really the Ibn Ezra in Devarim is the essential Ibn Ezra. But he wants to say, so how does he explain our Ibn Ezra? He says that the Ibn Ezra was opposed to the idea that a whole Parsha would be added into the Torah. But little parts of Pesukim, or like little clarifications, he's okay with. But with other parts, with a whole Parsha in the Torah, he's against that idea. So even the author of this, who's a proponent of this, at least he's somewhat honest here. And if you go a little bit further on, he says, one problematic matter regarding the suggestion is that Ibn Ezra believes that the last chapter of the Torah, which is an entire Parsha, was added. I'm not sure this is the best explanation for what troubled the Ibn Ezra here. So his answer is that, or he asks a question on this answer. He says, how do you say, or how could you hold, that the Ibn Ezra's approach is that little things, clarifications, could be added into the Torah, but not whole Parshos, if the whole premise or the whole source is from the end of the Torah, where he maintains that the last 12 Pesukim were written by Yoshua. If he holds over there that 12 Pesukim could be written by Yoshua, why would he not hold in our Parsha by the Malachim, by Edom, that those could be written after the fact? So that's his question. So at least he's honest in asking that or trying to approach this, but the author himself takes the approach of the critic, which is that the premise is the Ibn Ezra's is in Devarim, in the Sod, and what we have to work out is our Ibn Ezra, but I think that it's backwards. The premise should be based on Ibn Ezra and our Parsha, where it's open, and the Sod, the secret, or the deep idea, should be the idea that's worked out, or the idea that's thought into, as opposed to the opposite manner. So that's really, I think, what the disagreement I have with the critics over here. Okay, and there's different people who write on this subject too, not just this author, but also other people defend the Ibn Ezra. They try to say similar to what I'm saying, that really, you can't really, really, whenever the Ibn Ezra says so, we really don't understand it. And whenever he alludes to something, it's not something that we're privy to, because a lot of people say it was through Masorah, through a tradition, that you can understand the Ibn Ezra. So to use the Sod Ibn Ezra, the secret of Ibn Ezra, as your premise is dangerous, and to be confident in your understanding of this Ibn Ezra is dangerous. So I think it's more appropriate to accept the fact that the Ibn Ezra was not a kofar and that he was a defender of this idea, but he's trying to allude to a different concept through the Sod. So what is that concept, or what? Maybe we can have a different idea for this concept of the Sod of the Ibn Ezra to try to explain it. So I'm not sure if this is the answer, but I don't think the other way of learning makes. I don't think it's really sensible. So, what is the idea? What is the basic concept? Since the Ibn Ezra, if you hold the Ibn Ezra Sod, is premised on the idea that Yoshua wrote the last set of Pesukim in the Torah, so what is that idea? We never define that. What is that idea that Yoshua wrote the last set of Pesukim? Why do you have to say that? So if you look in the Daf al Daf, which is a compendium to Gemara, to that Gemara, so he quotes the Igros Moshe or Moshe Feinstein, and Moshe Feinstein says in Orach Chaim, Chelik Dalid, Simon Chaf Dalid, he says, Kasav de'ad kan lo pligi Rav Yehuda Rav Nachman im Rav Shimon rak im Moshe Kasvan o Yoshua Kasvan. So they're only arguing as to who wrote it. Aval kule alma modu shezeh haya begeder ksivas haTorah. So everyone agrees that this fit into the fence of writing the Torah. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar of Yoshua Kasvo. Hashem said it and Yoshua wrote it. The Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, or Rav Shimon, Moshe Kasvu. So the Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, and according to Rav Nachman, Rav Shimon, Moshe was the one who wrote it. Aval Sefer Yoshua lo ne'amar mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu el nichta aval pi Ruach HaKodesh. But Sefer Yoshua was written through a different level of Nevuah. It was written through Ruach HaKodesh. So, according to the Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, so even the side that holds that Yoshua wrote the Torah, he's saying that the nature or the quality of the Nevuah that was utilized in writing it was Nevuas Moshe. So what he's saying is, he's saying a deep idea. He's saying that even though Yeshua practically was the writer of the Torah, but the quality of Nevuah was Nevuas Moshe. Because Yeshua, Sefer Yeshua, was written through a different or a lower level of Nevuah. It was written through Ruach HaKodesh, he says. But the Torah was written through a higher level of Nevuah. It was directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though Yeshua was the author of the last Pesukim, the quality of the Nevuah was the same quality that Moshe had received. It was the same quality of knowledge. So the Igros Moshe is showing you that from a practical standpoint, the machlokas between in the Gemara between whether Yeshua wrote it or whether or not Moshe wrote it, from a practical standpoint or conceptually, the Nevuah itself was the same. It was Nevuas Moshe no matter what. So even if you say Yeshua wrote it, it was still defined as Nevuas Moshe. It still had the quality of Nevuas Moshe. Okay, so one idea that you can explain, if you can use Rav Moshe Feinstein's idea, maybe the sod of the Ibn Ezra is that sod. That is the sod. The sod is that even though Yeshua wrote the last psukim, the sod is that it wasn't written the way Yeshua wrote his sefer. It wasn't written through the prism of Yeshua's Nevuah. It was written through Nevuas Moshe. It was written through the quality of Nevuah that Moshe had. So even though Yeshua was the author, but the quality of Moshe's Nevuah is on a higher level. It's a different type of Nevuah. So based on that, perhaps the Ibn Ezra is saying that in all these other cases where it appears like futuristic, it appears like it was written later, the idea is to try to express that concept that the nature of Moshe's Nevuah is different. It's qualitatively different than every other Nevuah. That other Nevuahs wouldn't be expressed in this way, wouldn't be expressed in such a futuristic type of manner. But Nevuah's Moshe was so clear and so direct that it was written in a way which expressed the present tense, that it even as if it's happening in the future, to reflect the clarity and the high level of Nevuah's Moshe. So one answer you can give is that that's the sod. The sod of the Ibn Ezra is not that it was written by other people, by other Nevi'im, but it's the idea that these psukim reflect on the quality of Nevuas Moshe. They reflect that just as the last eight psukim were written by Yeshua, but they also reflected the quality of Nevuas Moshe, even though they were written after Moshe's death, so too these other psukim reflect the quality of Nevuas Moshe, but they were really written b'nevuah by Moshe, but they reflect a certain level of Nevuah. Only a person on the level of Moshe could write the Torah in this way, with this type of knowledge. So that's the idea. The knowledge that's expressed is futuristic, but it's really expressing a knowledge that comes directly from God. It's a high level of knowledge. So that's one way to understand the Ibn Ezra. And the other way, another possibility to explain him is one other possibility. So the Marasha on the Gemara says that the main idea over here, he says, Amarlei, it's the Marasha on this Gemara, Baba Basra, Amarlei Rav Shimon, Efshar Sefer Torah Chasar Os Achas, is it possible that the Sefer Torah can be missing one letter? Rav Shimon Nami Chash Lekushas Rav Yehuda. So Rav Shimon was also Choshesh, he was concerned about the Kasha of Rav Yehuda. Efshar Moshe Mesh, Uchsiv, Vayamos Moshe, Debechaya Vaday Lohaya Kosev Kach, Demechse Keshikra. So is it possible that Moshe wrote that he died? It looks like it's a lie, because how can Moshe write it and say that he died? He's writing Vayamas Moshe and he's not dead yet. So the Torah, so the Marasha is saying that the idea that Yeshua wrote it was that the Torah is concerned of Mechsi Keshikra. The Torah is concerned about it looking like a lie, looking false. And it doesn't want to, it wants to try to avoid as much as possible the illusion that of Shikra, of Sheker. So even the idea that, even though it's true, it would be truthful if Moshe wrote it, because it would be Nevuah in the future, but it was written in a way which would avoid Shikra, so avoid any type of lie. And that's why the Gemara forces us to say that Yeshua wrote it, as to avoid any possible Sheker in Nevuah's Moshe. So the idea also, I think that explains some of the psukim that the Ibn Ezra quotes in the Yisod, in the Sod, in the Secret. Because it says by the pasuk of, by the pasuk of Og. So the argument is that it was written later because the pasuk says or explains his height and based on his bed frame. So they want to say, why did it have to explain it? The Jews just defeated Og. Why do they, if this must have been written later? No. So what's the idea? The idea is that the Torah is writing it in a way where it's trying to defend it. It's trying to write it in a way where it's aware of the question. and it's trying to defend it and make it so that it's not sheker, it's not shikra. Same thing with Bahar Hashem Yireh, and same thing, anytime the Torah mentions the idea of Hayom Hazeh, Bahar Hashem Yireh, or Abahaknani Oz Ba'aretz, the idea is that the Nevuas Moshe was written in a way where it's almost defensive of the Torah. It's almost written in a way where it's trying to not show that there's no sheker in the Torah. So even though it looks futuristic, it's trying to do it in a way, or it's the reason why it's looking futuristic is to try to defend it. It's trying to show that it's not sheker. Like the idea that Avram called it, what does that show you? It shows you it's a reality, that Avram's calling the name Hashem Yireh, it lasted, it was a reality. So it's the idea of the Yesod over here is that the Torah is concerned of Mechzi Keshikra, and the Torah was written in a way where the concern of Mechzi Keshikra is expressed. And sometimes the futuristic Lashon is there in order to defend what the Torah is saying, but it's not there because the Torah is not true, it's there because to show you that the Torah is concerned about Mechzi Keshikra. So it was really written B'nevuas Moshe, but it was written in a way to defend the Torah, against possible questions. Okay, so that's the other possibility. So there's two possibilities to explain the Sod of the Ibn Ezra. One possibility is that there's a quality to Nevuas Moshe that's unique, and that's what the Sod is, that even Yeshua wrote the last Psukim with that quality of Nevua, and all these Psukim that the Ibn Ezra is quoting reflect that quality, that only Nevuas Moshe could really be written in this, in a way where the future is known, where the future to this degree or this level is known. And the other possibility is that really it's trying to avoid Mechzi Keshikra. And the last 12 psukim being written by Yeshua is because the Torah didn't, even if it wasn't sheker, it didn't want to appear like shikra. It didn't even want to appear like it's a lie. So whenever the Torah tries to defend itself, it's saying even nowadays it's called this, or even when the Torah says, oh, his bed size was such and such, it's doing it in a way where it's trying to avoid Mechzi Keshikra. It's trying to almost take up the questions that you might have on it and trying to defend the Torah in a way to avoid any possibility of Sheker, because the Torah is in tune and the Nevuas Moshe is in tune with Mechzi Keshikra, with the idea or the potential that it looks like a lie. Okay, so that's really the idea. That's the other idea. Okay, so those are just two different possibilities, but without those answers, you can still say that when you have two Ibn Ezra's, one which is open and one which is the Sod, either you could say it's a question, I don't know the answer, so you don't have to actually take one as a premise, but being that all of our Besorah and our tradition is in line with the idea that Moshe wrote the Torah Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's an open Ibn Ezra along those lines, to utilize the Sod Ibn Ezra to the opposite effect and to try to utilize that as a premise and then answer away our Ibn Ezra is backwards to me. It seems like it's a backwards type of way of approaching the Ibn Ezra in general. Okay, so that's a lot to swallow, but let me just summarize a little bit of the shir. So really, the shir was based on the end of our parsha, where the parsha talks about the Malachim of Edom. So the whole question was, what's the purpose of this? So the Rashi and the Baal Turim give philosophical concepts. They say that it's either trying to teach us about Ashkacha, or it's trying to teach us that there was a flaw within Yaakov, and that was expressed and through the Malachim of Esav, that Yaakov approached Esav in the wrong way. But then we went into a different philosophical point, which is this Ibn Ezra, which I saw in this week's Parsha, and it mentions the idea that it's impossible to say that this was written after the Torah was completed, and there are some want to say that it was written in the time of Yehoshaphat, and he says that's crazy. He says you should burn those books. So it sounds like the Ibn Ezra vehemently opposes any possibility of the Torah being written after the fact. But then the critics, and even nowadays, I think people within the pale or consider themselves within the pale of orthodoxy, they want to latch on to another Ibn Ezra, which is a very secretive Ibn Ezra in Devarim, where he alludes to the secret of 12. So the people want to say that the secret of 12 is the concept of the last 12 psukim the Ibn Ezra says were written by Yehoshua. But we saw that Ibn Ezra gets this idea from the Gemara. It's not his own idea. And in fact, all the other psukim that the Ibn Ezra mentions, the Gemara never mentions any possibility that anybody else wrote them. And also, the Ibn Ezra himself never mentions it openly. He says there's a secret here. So we don't know how to interpret the secret. So the critics want to say that the secret nature is that he wanted to hide this idea. He wanted to hide the fact that he really believed that parts of the Torah were written after the fact. And they go through the psukim that he quotes, and they try to bring rayas from those psukim that he believed that. And then they try to answer away our Ibn Ezra. And they say our Ibn Ezra was, because it's a whole parsha, it can't be written after the fact. But if it were little things, it can be. But the problem is that it's backwards. You can't take a Sod Ibn Ezra and use that as your premise, your philosophical premise, and deny the open Ibn Ezra. It should be the opposite. So we try to explain the Sod of the Ibn Ezra. So maybe the Sod of the Ibn Ezra is tied to the idea of the last 12 psukim. I'm not saying definitively, but it's a possibility. But the concept that he's expressing is either the concept that Rav Moshe Feinstein's saying, that the idea Yehoshua wrote it isn't an idea in Nevuas Yehoshua, it's an idea in Nevuas Moshe, that even though Yehoshua wrote it, it was written with a quality of Nevuah, of Nevuas Moshe, and the last 12 psukim show you that Nevuas Moshe was on a different level of Nevuah. And he says it openly, that Sefer Yehoshua is written Baruch HaKodesh, but the Torah is written Nevuas Moshe. So even the parts of the Torah that seem to be futuristic are really an expression, a reflection of the uniqueness of Nevuas Moshe, that Nevuas Moshe was unique in the sense that he knew the knowledge of the future was exact and was precise. So that's one way to learn. And the other way to learn, and that's what the Ibn Ezra is showing you in all these different psukim, the other way to learn is that the reason behind Yehoshua's writing of the Torah was mechzi kashikra, that the Torah was concerned that it shouldn't even look like a lie, even though it wasn't a lie that Moshe died, but it shouldn't look like a lie at all. So the Torah writes in a way where it's almost it's very careful to try to avoid any type of sheker, any type of illusion of sheker. So whenever there's an illusion of sheker, the Torah is very careful. So over here too, the other psukim over here, they're written in a way where they're almost defensive. It's like the Knanim are still in the land, or it's still called Hashem Yireh, or the idea that Og's bed size was a certain size. But why is it writing that? It wasn't written after the fact. It's writing it in a way which is almost defensive because it's trying to avoid any belief or any idea of sheker. It's even concerned with mechzi kesheker, with the idea of it appearing like sheker. So the Torah was concerned about it, so it writes it in a way where it's almost defensive. It's trying to defend the reality of the Torah, even though we know that the reality of the Torah is true. Okay, so that's the other possibility. So those are just two different possibilities to explain the Sod of the Ibn Ezra within our framework. Okay, so that's the shiur tonight. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling in. Have a good Shabbos. Any questions?